This hour of the Overdrive podcast is brought to you by Felix. Embarrassed to talk about erectile dysfunction in person? Felix can connect you to a doctor online to assess ED and, if applicable, deliver treatment to your door. Visit felix.ca.
What the hell is this? What is this? Wow. Why is this song playing right now? This is completely unacceptable, unless it's a shout out for yours truly, because I was on fire over the weekend, as we know. But I don't think that is necessarily what's going on here. Maybe Mullen's trying to pull a quick one on us. Yeah. Maybe he's trying to lead to some positive vibes tonight, right, with the Leafs back in action and the Raptors back in
action. Isn't this the major league tune when they're on fire?
Absolutely.
And everybody's loving them?
Absolutely.
So this could only be for you. This could only be for you.
Maybe it is only for me. And as
nothing else
as I
is
can
on
be.
Fire. Nothing else
nothing
is on
else
fire.
Is on fire. Nothing right. else is on fire. It's completely inappropriate to play this. Mullen, I don't know what the hell you're thinking. We got to set the tone here. We got to get to the real song of the day. I mean, let's be honest, what we actually should be starting the show with. There it is. There it is. That's the theme song of the Toronto sports scene right now. That's what I'm talking about. Myers Monday. It's late October. It's a garbage day outside. People are miserable. Yeah. We're just going to add to it. We'll pile on for 3 hours.
Let's before we get crazy, walk us through how good of a weekend you had.
No one cares. We'll do that later, Noodles.
Really?
We'll do that later. Let's get cracking
right,
here, okay?
Ahead,
let's
ahead.
Be honest. With this theme song, you know what the real question should be?
Yes.
Who in the Maple Leaf organization is not hearing this music? That's maybe the way we can put it, somewhat of an original spin on this.
I got one guy for you. Want me to hit?
Yeah, who's that?
Jason Spezza.
Jason Spezza is not hearing this music. Dude, I don't think Rasmus Sandin is hearing this music right now.
Dude, wouldn't you think, like, that's kind of what, like, turn the stupid music off.
He's so mad.
Like, I just don't understand the comments today. Like, I just want to hear from one of them. Like, I just want to hear the actual truth, like, grown-ass men that are playing in the NHL. Like, Austin Matthews is asked about playing against Freddie, and he's like, yeah, it's going to be funny out there. No, it's not funny. You should. The right answer is I could care less about Freddie Anderson. I canceled plans last night. We got to get down to business tonight. I know the NHL, you don't stop your life, but I just can't believe we're back here at this particular juncture talking about this. And this is the last straw for these guys. It's like the last one where we can actually say, you guys got to get out of this and play with some goddamn balls, or that's it. It's like you don't do it in the playoffs. You can't get in the playoffs. You choked last year. And then this year, everybody was like, let's see what they got. Are they going to show up? Are they going to show they got some stones? And it's like, okay, you got skunked in Pittsburgh, but tonight, can you actually respond and play with some stones? Because God knows what happens after that. I don't know what happens to this after that. Like, can we just watch them play garbage all year long?
Well, I'm actually genuinely excited for the game tonight because it
yes,
is an opportunity
so
for them to continue to go back to the well and try to prove that they've learned all these lessons that they've been talking about for 5 years, because over the weekend that was as embarrassing as you're going to get. It's not David Ayers. You know, for this team, it maybe isn't that embarrassing, quite frankly.
And by the way, that guy's got to show up and go to Carolina. If I was Troy, I'd cut him off of everything in Toronto. He's got to show up.
Of course he's in Carolina.
Yeah, I know.
He'll be out there with the Zamboni. He'll be doing the whole night.
Do it when St. Louis is in town. You got to show up and try to embarrass everybody like that. Honestly, that's ridiculous.
Wasn't he winding up that, like, horn or
something?
Yeah.
Winding
up the
horn.
He'll be the mascot tonight. He'll be driving the Zamboni. He'll be behind the bench. Rod Brindamore will take the third period off tonight.
Yeah.
David Ayers will be the head coach.
Wow.
And that's the truth, is we have been down this road so many times, and I feel like a rodeo clown, where all weekend I just have people reaching out to me saying, man, your head's going to explode at 4 p.m. on Monday.
Awesome.
I'd prefer it wouldn't. I'd prefer not to do the show again, but it's like I'm Michael Corleone. Every time I think I'm out, this team drags me back in. And you know what they are? They're the boy that cried wolf. I'm with you with your comments and the comments over the weekend. Nothing to be concerned about. Ah, blank slate. We know what's up. You can't say that for 5 years and expect right. people to be like, oh, you're right. You will figure it out with a blank slate. Few things stick out to me early in the season. Let's play a little game here. You tell me what I'm talking about, okay? Am I talking about the first six game of the regular season, or am I talking about games 5, 6, and 7 against the Habs?
All right.
Horrible starts, night in, night out.
Both.
Horrible power play.
Both.
Stars invisible.
Both.
Both.
It's the exact same thing. That's the point. 5, 6, and 7 against Montreal, it's carried over. And you know where it didn't carry over? Who said the same thing and was equally as embarrassed? The Edmonton Oilers. You know what they've done? They've said, we're not starting that way. 5-0, rock stars, best power play in the league, top five PK. McDavid and Draisaitl look like kings. They're like, we're not letting this carry over. We are not going down that road. The Leafs, not possible for them to make it easy on themselves. You knew it was going to play out like that on Saturday night. I saw a great tweet before the game. It was Saturday afternoon. Someone had posted the same tweet we saw 45,000 times. No Crosby, no Malkin, no Carter, no Letang. And underneath it was a guy from Toronto who said, any true Leaf fan knows they're losing tonight. And I read
that
at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and he was absolutely right. Anyone that's been following this team knew they would play down to their competition and get roasted.
Down to their competition? They didn't even come close to
it. It was below the competition.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. It was, and especially with the way they played on Friday night off a week off. San Jose had been playing back-to-back in 3 and 4. They start early so they can get out early. It was just an awful weekend.
That's what I don't understand. And John Cooper even said it today, Hayes. He's like, you can't win the cup in October. He's like, you just can't. But he goes, we need to see some urgency. This guy's won back-to-back cups. He's like, we need to see some urgency out of our team because it's already getting kind of that time to set ourselves up for the playoffs. And it's like, these guys, after what happened, it's like, I just wonder, it gets to the point if, you know, they can't get through the first round, they collapse in the playoffs, and now it's like between their ears. They can't think straight out there. They're just, they can't move, they can't make a play, they can't get on the power play, they can't do it. It gets to the point you have to wonder, do they have it between the ears, or do they have the stones to do it? Because time and time again, we get to this point.
There's a couple players that, you know, you make a great point. They look paralyzed with overthinking on the ice. Well, like overthinking on the ice instead of letting their reaction, their habits come out. And not work ethic, because, you know, work ethic's another thing. You can challenge work ethic. Montreal was challenging each other about work ethic in detail. I'm talking about if you're a skilled player and you're used to handling the puck and you're used to doing something. There's a couple guys on Toronto that look paralyzed when they get the puck.
And what Exhibit A, Jamie, is Mitch Marner. He's one of the best players in the world. He was the first All-Star right wing last year in the whole damn league. He's got to forget about
everything. He's got one point.
And
don't give me expected points. Don't give me underlying numbers.
Shove that crap.
It's ridiculous. No. This team would be an expected dynasty in the expected Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yes,
all
of them got to go out and play with an edge. And I've always talked about the expectations with Toronto fans. It's like, that's why they love Tux, your buddy Tux, and Ty Domi, and Dougie Gilmore. It's like, they just had an edge to them where it's like, sometimes you're just going to come up and you're not good enough and you don't win. Like, just play with some kind of purpose and show everyone that you got some stones and that you care. And not, hey, it's going to be funny to see Freddie tonight.
Well,
who cares?
And that's the beauty of them. They can go out and perform and prove it tonight. And I think they'll show up with this team. I'm never going to make a prediction again.
God,
I have no idea. But I'm more concerned that they show up tonight and then think, okay, we got everyone off our backs. Let's fly into Chicago, have a good time. They're brutal. And guess what could happen on Wednesday night? Right? Because Chicago has been awful all year. They haven't even had a lead at any point.
You're right. I watched that game last night. I mean, I know there's fires everywhere in the league, you know, right now, depending on expectations
There's a lot of them.
Exactly.
Get the top five dumpster fires in the NHL cooking list, because it's easy to find one.
And Montreal was one, and they won one game, but it still doesn't matter. Maybe it gives them a little bit of confidence and all of that. But ultimately, the biggest challenge, when you're looking at a team like Chicago, they haven't had a lead this season. That sets an NHL record. I'm sitting there watching them last night. This Marc-Andre Fleury, I feel awful for him. Like, awful. And you don't think Vegas wants him back? Like, it's ridiculous. Like,
well,
what's going
yeah,
on?
Yeah, I mean, who cares about Chicago? The point right, being is right. Leafs are playing Carolina, who are a really good team.
Yeah.
I don't know if Freddie's in a revenge game mode or not tonight, but Freddie Anderson's playing, and we know that he's capable of playing very well. He's off to a good start. Carolina's a really good team.
Yeah.
So we'll see what the Leafs are made of. But this is about the bigger picture. This is about them getting things on the rails here. And for anyone suggesting that it's an overreaction, I don't believe that. I believe it's an appropriate one, again, because they don't deserve the benefit of the doubt. It's the boy that cried wolf. They've continued to do it. And you want to ask anyone about reacting? Go talk to the head coach. He's got the blender out tonight. All of a sudden, Nick Ritchie isn't just finding his way. He's on the fourth line, right? All of a sudden, Mitch and Matthews aren't playing together tonight. Might change by the second or third period.
Yeah,
but Sheldon
right.
Keefe clearly sees what the rest of the world has seen. Like, it's early, but this is not a team that can rest on a cup final a year ago like Montreal can, like
right.
back-to-back cups like Tampa can, like conference final like Vegas did, right? Like, even in Chicago, you had three cups in the last 12 years, right? The Leafs have not won a playoff round in 17. So
right.
there's nothing to rest on. There's nothing
right.
to look.
Nothing
That's
to fall
what
back.
I can't
nothing
figure
to fall
out
back
about
on.
The
as
start haze. Watching the game on Saturday night, it's like, this is so eerie to think that their performance in this building the last time they were in there got a guy canned, and then they show up back in the same building and they perform the same way. It's like, how does this happen with you guys? And you talked about the urgency to start the year. It's like, this blender shouldn't be out. We shouldn't be having this conversation on urgency alone. Maybe some guys are going through some tough puck luck, but I'm just watching and I'm like, really, guys? This early in the season? They should be wheeling and dealing out there. Desperation.
Well,
the giveaways, they look so disorganized.
The turnovers
like
crazy.
Just, oh my God, the coach must be losing it watching the video.
It is. Like, that's one where, honest to God, there was an egregious error every shift. Last game. If you're the video guy there, you're like, okay, mark that, mark that, mark that. And I mean, you know, Jake Muzzin looks not right. And
not
either,
in a
neither
good
does
place.
Justin Hall doesn't look right.
I don't think the top four noodles
right.
looks right. I don't think Jake Brody has not been good early in the
guys,
year.
Guys, nobody yeah. looks good.
But,
not
but
one.
Right.
Jason Spezza is the only guy on the hockey team that looks like he's
And that's a compliment to him, but an indictment
no
on the
kidding.
Team.
As Peter Laviolette said to Marty Murray one day, Marty, great game out there, but just listen up, guys. If Marty Murray's our best player, we got no shot.
Wow. I've had like, a
shout out
it was
Marty
the it, yeah, shout out. It was like it was so complimentary. He's like, Marty, really good playing out there, but the rest of you jerks, if he's
yeah.
our best player, we have zero chance to win.
It
zero.
Is so tough. You know, and yep. have you ever heard had a coach say, we got guys who've never pissed a drop out here. Like, that's, we're talking the effort. Like, mm-hmm. and it's flat out. I look at guys that I expect more of, obviously. I think it's going to come for the top guys. But you keep saying it. It's going to come. It's going to come. They got to do it. And the thing is they don't just have to do it tonight. They got to do it consistently because
no
you have
kidding.
To get you have to get your game in order. And believe me, I am not – I'm somewhere in the middle, but I'm not on this, like – hey, you know, they'll get it together and I'm not worried because all I do is watch other teams pick up points. And that's what concerns me. Like, this Metro division's going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you talk about, like, and I'm not threatening anything, but I'm looking at teams that we thought were going to be good and then teams that have had, like, the New York Islanders, I think they're a fantastic team. People forget they're playing their first 13 games on the road. If they can come home 500, they're in
they're
good
in
shape.
They're in a really good spot. Yep.
Right.
Really
like,
good spot.
You know, Vegas has injuries. I'm talking throughout the league top-tier teams.
Mm-hmm.
Rangers, Carolina, Pittsburgh, Washington, Islanders. There's, you know, that's five teams right there that are
exactly,
like legit.
But all games, all teams that separate themselves from the Leafs because of past history and because of an understanding that they will get it together at the right time. And this
right.
start is going to test a couple of things. One, it will test the apathy crowd. You know, this has been a big part of the conversation. People are apathetic. They're not involved. They don't care. Well, if you're yelling and screaming and snapping on people on the street, then you do care because this team is dragging it out of you. In a weird way, this might spark the fan base that
right.
has been somewhat asleep or saying, I'm going to wait till the playoffs because you got to get to the playoffs, right? The whole point of waiting until the playoffs is that's working under the assumption this team will do what it did last year during the regular season. And right. the last 5 years where they're punching their ticket and they play well as a regular season team. And they still have the makings of doing that. And I'm not changing my prediction here. This isn't about where I think they could become game 82. It's what we've seen through six games where it's been incredibly underwhelming for a
That's
team
it.
That continues
That's
to
it.
Say we've learned lessons and we're passionate about changing our own narrative. And this really comes down to the big boys and the guys who get paid the most. And you can apply this to every sport. Getting paid, there's one common denominator for the guys who get paid the most. It's talent, right? They all have talent, and they're all going to produce, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, hockey. What
right.
getting paid or paying somebody, if you're the team doing it, does not guarantee is that they have the clutch gene, that they have the drive to be great, that they're obsessed with winning. You don't know that until it's done, until it happens. And
right.
that's where I'm – intrigued and excited to see what these guys are made of tonight, because this is what you really get paid for. Scoring 55 is a stat. It's awesome, right? Oh, you've been saying this forever, ever since they got paid. It's about winning is what it is, right?
That's
it's about
it. They got paid that money
direction.
For winning.
For winning. And now you put yourself in a bit of a bad spot. You haven't started the season well. You're coming off a dark cloud in terms of the offseason being what it was. They have the ability to change it. No one else can. Everyone can yell and scream and be disappointed on the outside. It can change in a week and a half if you play well. And then
right.
you consistently get rolling the way everyone believes you should.
That's
and that's
it.
The difference, I think, between the reaction to this team and even the reaction to what Montreal has gone through earlier in the season. I was texting with a buddy over the weekend. I think people in Montreal were bracing for it with Price, Weber, Deno.
Yeah, a lot
I think
of
they were
moving.
Like, it's going to be
right.
tough. Not an 0-5 start, but this could be a different team.
Right.
The expectations in Toronto were 100-plus points, you make the playoffs. So when you start the way that you're starting, then clearly you're going to get the reaction that you're going to get. And I get the impression like it's not unanimous, because it's never unanimous with a fan base the size of Leafs Nation, but it's a large majority of people that are just so disappointed with the way they've started. And I can only imagine what Dubas and Shanahan are thinking. Because they've gone to the wall for these guys.
Dude,
they changed
that's what
the
I
game
think...
on Friday to 6 p.m. so they could get an extra hour of sleep.
I was
and look how they pay them
thing.
Back on Saturday night.
Look how they pay them back. They got the coach yeah. that they want. They got their money. They all got paid. They all make great money. They play music during practice for these guys. All skill development practices.
No suits to the game. Where would
I? No, you
want.
Got your wardrobe sorted out. What else could possibly, unless it's between wow. your ears, you're just afraid of something. I don't know what it is, and you don't have the stones. But if they put out their, like, they could put out a good effort tonight and still get just crushed by Carolina will kick
Carolina's
your ass.
Carolina's a really good
Carolina's
team.
Yeah,
a good
they're a good team.
Really
but
good
but
team.
At least
gotta
they got to give them. Yeah, you got to give yourself a chance. Like, just. That game on Saturday night, that was just something else to watch. I was just like, what could – it looked like they were pissed off at something, like a coach, or they got a guy on their team that they hate.
It looked
it's like a, when you watch a team and you say, there's something wrong there. It's like, what?
Wow. It looked
the
like
hell's
the Babcock
wrong?
Game 2 years ago that got him fired.
That's yeah. just what I said. It's yeah. like I watched these guys, and it's like that performance in that barn looked exactly like the one that got him fired.
Which is weird because – you know, it happened to be Pittsburgh. It happened to be Saturday night.
And
like it just, well, and you're watching it going, all right, is this unfolding? Like, okay, how is it going to, you get through the first period. You're like, okay, are they going to wake up, get going here? And you get scored on right away. Like nobody played well, but it just, it just eerily, like if somebody could just go, this is the problem, address it. But I think there's a lot of different layers to the issues. And, you know, coming back to what you're saying, Brian, like you can't just rest on, you know, if you're a Habs fan going, hey, you know, my cup is full. I got a chance to go through this last year. Going to be some bumps in the road. Tampa, we got cups, you know, mm-hmm. Islanders, we're on the road. Like Vegas, we've got injuries and Winnipeg, COVID and all that. Now Winnipeg's won 3 in a row all of a sudden. Like,
right.
you know, teams are digging out that they expect to dig out. I expect the Leafs to do it, but it's easier said than done because you're right. Like Carolina's a hell of a team. Mm-hmm. Like they're a legit good team, but you
got
to see. Let's see what they're capable of. Because
let's see what they've
you know
got.
What they. I've said this before. They win every press conference. They always say the right thing, but nobody cares.
But that's
you've got to do
again,
it
again. It's the boy that cries wolf noodles. I can't continue to hammer that home enough. It's
right.
literally. It's always the same. It's all good. Back to the drawing board. We know we can be better. We're going to
yeah.
do it. We've
that
learned
quote,
from this.
That quote
and the lessons never
out,
get learned.
that quote that you tweeted out where Mitch was just like, yeah, we got a day off tomorrow. We'll just, I was like, and I know sometimes you got to just plan days off where you, no matter what happens, you got to give the guys a day off. And it's all sports science. You got to plan on having rest and everybody not going out there all the time. But I'm shocked they didn't have a practice yesterday. Like, just go out
I'm
and
shocked
practice.
He'd admit it, even if it was planned. Because you're right. That's a lot of that is union-based. You got to have one off a week and all that.
And I know
right.
It was back-to-back, but just, I don't know. I would have done something to get their attention. I don't know what the hell these kids gets their attention. Like, pull up to a shopping mall and make them all go out and buy a tie or something and wear it to the get their attention so they're just like a little bit off kilter. But maybe they just piss and moan about that. I don't know. But I would have done something yesterday to get their attention. I do not know what that would be. I'm not a coach, not a psychologist. But it's like what else gets their attention?
Well,
I don't know.
Maybe it's the lineup change tonight. You know, maybe that sends a bit of a ripple effect up and down the lineup where Matthews right. will be with Bunting and Nylander. Kerfoot's going to the wing. And he'll play with Tavares and Marner tonight. You know, like that's – listen, there. Keith is throwing things against the wall because yeah. it's not
because
only
not
the
one guy. No, not one guy is excused from this nonsense. Not no. one
and,
of them.
And the other thing, though, we should correct that too. They're not kids anymore.
No.
Oh.
They're not.
You know who our kids are? San Jose. That's one of the youngest teams in the league. Mm-hmm. Ottawa. You know, like these kids now are these players
been in
now
the league 5 years.
5-6 years. Tavares is over 30. You know, Muzzin's over 30. Campbell's 30. Like, this is a veteran group from top to bottom, other than Rasmus Sandin. This is in Lilligren. Like, really, this is a group that is Morgan Riley's at, you know, 27. Like, they're not kids learning the process anymore. They know the process.
Absolutely. Well, they keep saying they know the process, right? Like that. Well, and that's what we continue to come back to is.
Right.
They're trying to prove to the world that they have learned the process. But you're right, Noodles, in terms of the day-to-day, they're actually like the three core pieces that fit together, and that is Matthews, Marner, and Nylander, are really in the perfect spot to respond to what has been happening here because they've been in the league 5 years, old enough, veteran enough to understand the ins and outs, ebbs and flows, but yep. young enough where they're still in their prime. They're just walking into their prime.
Right.
It's not as if they're over the hill and you're asking too much, right? Like Mitch Marner has 1 point in 6 games. Matthew's been back for 3. He's had one great night where he didn't get on the score sheet. The next two, he didn't bring enough. He didn't play well at all over the weekend. Auston Matthews has 0 points in 3 games. So, you know, I remember saying it a couple of years ago. Those three in particular were at a fork in the road, and they had a chance to go down one road where it was going to lead to legendary status, the likes of which we've never seen before in this city. If you win, because of what they represented, drafted, developed, came up together, Leafs winning, everything about it. Or the other road is you're facing the biggest disappointment in franchise history. Now, the script is still being written. We're still in the early stages or middle stages of this, and there are blank pages in terms of how they're going to write this story. But they haven't determined which road they've gone down yet. And if any one you had to choose, it would be the wrong one so far. Because what are they known for as of now? Getting paid a lot of money and not winning. You know, regardless of the stats, regardless of the production, regardless of the talent, that's kind of what it boils down to for a lot of Leaf fans. And we're early into the season. Luckily for everyone involved, you got 76 games to go. Right. Doesn't have to matter in 2 weeks. Doesn't have to matter in a month. But it's not a good start. Like, there's no other way to put it. It's just
no other way around it. It's just shocking to see looking disorganized. And I can't imagine, like I said, I can't imagine how pissed the coach is. It's like these coaches these days, they prepare these guys and get them ready. And it's just that look of disorganization. It's like the last coach that was here, he always said, and I do agree with that. It's like you got to look, it's NHL, look organized. The turnovers and the dumb plays, like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was ugly.
It was ridiculous.
I mean, Keith does sound like the last coach a lot.
He really does.
Honest
Noodles.
To God, if you stuck Babcock's face on his media, there is a lot of repetitive
and
comments.
Jamie, that's what Hayes was talking about. It's like how many people have to run through it and look at it and say, oh, the fans want Marner with Matthews together, and the coach would keep saying, the playoffs are tough. The playoffs are tough. And it's like, it just seems to go back to the same messages. And I know there's 76 games left. They can get this thing back on the rails. But how many more times are we going to revisit this situation and say, what the hell are these guys made of? How many more times?
I guess we'll find out again tonight, and we'll find out Wednesday, and we'll find out, you know, where this is going to be going. We'll be talking about it throughout the afternoon. The Leafs are taking on the Hurricanes.
I'm not doing the football stuff anymore. I'm out.
You're out. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, we got to come back and revisit that.
I'm not
what
kidding,
a
dude. I've had
enough.
No, yeah. I'm out.
Okay, what about the golf stuff and the baseball stuff?
Well, he's down.
Dude, I'll settle
my boy
up.
Matsuyama over in Japan, wow, did he put on a clinic on the back nine
this
yesterday.
Is something else. Like, I just kept tweeting tweet after tweet. I'm like, this guy, like, Beansy, you're not even tweeting out the picture of Beansy
I can't
anymore.
Do it. Honestly, I'm worried about HR.
Go to commercial and I'll explain myself, what I'm paying and what I'm not paying
okay.
when I come back.
And I'll explain why I think it's in the best interest, because I think HR is watching me now. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Jeff Saturday will join us here in just a moment, but somewhat emotional first 20 minutes, and really it was completely irrelevant at the end because of a bombshell comment from the O-Dog that simply cannot go overlooked. I can't believe what I just heard. I'm like Sam Rosen,
well,
dropped on the gurney.
Yeah.
I did not know that Matsuyama had the lead when – I gave you him, and I took the field. I did not know
did.
The significance. No, I didn't. No,
you
I,
absolutely
I,
did.
I knew it, and I wasn't tracking it because Hayes even said.
I said it. He's got a one-shot lead.
He's got the lead, and you're going to take the field. I'll take him.
I don't remember hearing that. I am.
Oh, okay.
I'm Roger Clemens right now. I misremembered.
I see. Okay.
Misremembered.
All right.
So I don't remember that lead, so that. At that particular juncture, that bet is void. Let's
okay.
Get
all right. That's out the window.
And then I'm sick of the guy behind the glass making my football bets, and I got to pay the money, and we're getting crushed.
Yeah,
so that's
man,
it. It's over.
He was picking. You guys loved the Rams. I told you Jerry
Goff
was going
to. Was it 0 for 4 again?
No, they won last night. I was on,
that was the icing on the cake. Jerry Goff kicking me in the pills just one last time.
Jerry Goff and the Lions. They know how to lose, but, man, could they cover in L.A. yesterday, and that's all that mattered. All right, we'll get more into this because there's some more depth to this, I believe, that we need to really knock out at some point. But here is longtime NFLer, ESPN NFL analyst. Here's Jeff Saturday. How you doing, Jeff?
Fantastic. How you guys doing?
Well, we've been better. I mean, the Toronto sports scene is not exactly on fire right now, but I guess I'm trying to think of what we could compare it to in the NFL. I mean, it's not quite Detroit.
Jets?
It's maybe the Jets. Maybe the Jets.
Bears.
Right
Jags.
Maybe the Bears. Maybe the Jags. I guess there are a bunch of dumpster fires in the NFL right now. I think the focus appears to be on the Kansas City Chiefs, and they've been anything but a dumpster fire for the past 3 years. They are a mess right now, Jeff. What is it that sticks out to you that would be the biggest concern or should be the biggest concern for Andy Reid?
Yeah, but the stubbornness of the offense. I mean, you know, when you look at what teams are doing this season, they're running a too high safety look about 80% of the time. 80% of the time, in his previous 3 years, Patrick Mahomes faced that about 38% of the time. And so, what does that mean for fans who, you know, hear that? It's kind of a strange way of saying you have to force the ball being run or check down Charlie, right? Which means when you see an outlet early, you throw the ball, let the receiver go make yards after catch, and it's going to be dinks and dunks kind of all over the yard. So right now they're continuing to try to force the ball down the field. You're seeing the interceptions accrue. Mahomes has not done a good job of protecting the ball in the pocket or even when he's scrambling. I think their offensive line has played, you know, average at best. And so you're seeing things mount up. But again, it all starts really with the defense. And when you can't stop anybody, it as an offense that's been so high scoring for so many years, and look, I played on one in Indianapolis. When you feel like your defense is going to be giving up points and you're going to have to play a bit of a track meet, you start to press, and I think that's where the Chiefs are. So, you know, they got to get their offensive woes kind of fixed, but honestly, their offense hasn't been nearly as bad as people think if you look at the numbers. But, man, when their defense didn't stop anybody, that's how you have a below 500 record.
So, Jeff, what do? I heard you talking with your colleague on TV about 20 minutes ago, and he was talking about the details, show up to meetings on time, blah, blah, blah. But it's got to be more than that. Mahomes has got to get it together to really get out of this, don't they?
Yeah, and I think Andy Reid plays a large part in this, right? Is if you've looked at Andy Reid throughout his career, he's not a guy who's really bent on running the football, right? I mean, it's the opposite of that. And so when you talk about him and what he's going to have to be committed to, they're going to have to be committed to running the ball and, again, throwing shorter routes and allowing receivers to make plays and not trying to force the ball down the field as much. Because, again, it's not going to pay dividends. When people can play the defense the way they are and they can get pressure on your quarterback, man, it's tough sledding.
We're chatting with longtime NFLer, ESPN NFL analyst Jeff Saturday. Man, people are starting to turn on Kyle Shanahan out in San Fran. I was out there in San Francisco for the NFC Championship game a couple of years ago. Everyone had his hat. Everyone was buying his jacket. This guy owned the Bay Area. And now, because of the injuries.
Hat. What do you mean his hat?
Dude, he's got a hat that he wears. Like it's like a flat brim. I'm telling you. 50% of the stadium had that hat on. I'm telling you.
Jesus Murphy.
And now everyone's like, well, he doesn't even have a winning record during the regular season, and this guy can't pick a win. They can't win at home, and I think they've lost four in a row. And people are turning on Shanahan. Is that fair in your opinion, Jeff, or is it more to do with the quarterback, the injuries, the defense not being what it was 2 years ago? What's your read on the Niners?
Man, I think it's a lot of all of the above, and you guys are kind of hitting on all of it. But the main issue is, when you think about what their identity is and being able to run the football, you know, Mostert not being there, being injured, he was kind of their home run hitter. They didn't have those receivers that everybody thinks that Garoppolo, I know Debo Samuel has played well, but Ayuk has struggled. Kittle's been hurt again. And so, you know, you have a limited amount of options. And again, you know, Trent Williams, their left tackle, was hurt last night. Probably the best left tackle in the game, in all honesty. And so when injuries begin to mount up, you don't know which quarterback, whether it's Lance was hurt or Garoppolo's hurt. It's tough to find consistencies. And you know, when you talk about, like, play calling, Shanahan's got a great mind, very creative. He does a lot of things well. So does Sean McVay with the Rams. But if you look at the Rams' run game right now, they're, like, 28 in the league in yards per carry. Well, the 49ers are struggling finding ways to put points on the board. And as well as their defense is trying to hold serve, they're not nearly as dominant on that side. So I think it's kind of a mixed bag. And ultimately, the head coach takes the brunt of it. But they have got to find a way to string some wins together and get guys healthy and back in the lineup.
Jeff, a lot of these garbage teams that are not playing well right now, they're looking for young quarterbacks to kind of take a step and get them out of the dumpster fire that they're in. And Burrow is one guy that's doing that in Cincy. How impressed are you by him?
Oh, my word, man. I mean, this kid, first of all, yesterday's win, probably the most impressive in his short time in the NFL. And I'll tell you why. I mean, obviously he's still a rookie in my book because he's been injured and didn't play. Kind of a substantial amount last season. And so he's back now. But they go into the Ravens' house and basically just say, hey, Burrow, you're going to have to win this thing. I mean, at the end of the third quarter, I think they had, or like 2 minutes left in the third quarter, they only had 9 runs. So they basically set it on Burrow and said, hey, man, you're going to have to make completions, keep this thing moving. And I know Ja'Marr Chase had an unreal day. And did what he did. But, man, Burrow's got to get him in the right play and make the right throw. So it was a special performance, in my opinion, just to be able to step up to that and answer the call the way he did. That was extremely impressive. And then on the other side of that, I think with the Bengals, as people kind of goes under-discussed, you know, they got a top-5 scoring defense. The signing of Hendrickson, you know, on the end, and I think they have 19 sacks in the first 7 weeks, and they only had 17 in all of last year. So they're doing some things right on both sides of the ball, and it's showing up in wins and losses.
On the other side of it, Flores comes out yesterday and says, Tua is our guy. He's our guy. And then they go and lose to Atlanta. Is he still your guy after the loss to Atlanta?
Yeah, I mean, I think they have gotten painted themselves into a corner here. You know what I mean? You know they've been kind of shopping the Deshaun Watson thing, and you just have never felt like they've really been fully committed to Tua. And anytime there's going to be a bump in the road, it's going to be difficult to keep riding with them. And I think Flores is trying to say the right things, but when you continue to shop for a QB or even have discussions about it, It just undermines the growth of the quarterback that's in there now. And so, again, I think it's tough. They started off hot. Atlanta kind of weathered the storm and made some plays late in the game. Because when Tua walks off, man, they got the advantage, right? I mean, they're up two, and you know, they now the defense has got to step up and make plays, and they didn't. So it's tough to put that loss on, in my opinion, on Tua. But man, when you're fans of a team, everything goes to QB, whether it's too much in the good way or the bad way.
With Jeff Saturday, it feels like, you know, there's a lot of smoke surrounding this Deshaun Watson trade, or the prospective trade, and the deadline is right around the corner. It's next week, so it's going to happen soon. Obviously, Miami is a team lurking, and we could all make sense of that trade happening. Putting aside all of the off-the-field issue, the potential for a suspension when he arrives, just looking at the quarterback, looking at the contract, which team do you think should be pursuing Deshaun Watson the strongest?
Well, I think either the Panthers or the Dolphins are probably the two that you would. But here's the hardest part for me is I can't separate it. Like you would love to be able to separate it. From the football perspective, you know, there's probably 20 teams in the NFL who'd like to have him, but it's the issues that he's going to walk in that locker room with. And it's not just about the suspension. It's about the distraction in the locker room and whether a locker room and a culture can kind of withstand that. I think that's going to be tough to do without having answers of what it really looks like. I think in my opinion, that will be a hard addition to make unless you really had that thing chalked really tightly so you know what the boundaries are going to be.
With Jeff Saturday, Noodles, go ahead. You want to float on the Manning question.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to ask about the Manning cast. What do you think about it? And, you know, is it something that you think they should continue rolling out?
Oh, absolutely. I love it. I mean, I watch it and laugh a ton and have fun with it, man. It's been one of those things from a guy who, you know, has to watch his fair share of football. It can be refreshing, you know what I mean, that I don't have to go through each and every scenario and all those kinds of things to laugh a little bit. And again, like I love Lewis Riddick and Brian Greasy. Like those guys do a great job with Steve Levy, but it's nice to have a balance. And I just love kind of the setup of it, the people that come in, kind of hearing them talk throughout the game. So I think it's a great balance, and I've really enjoyed it. I definitely think they should continue it, man. If you're not one that wants to sit down and really, you know, hammer out X's and O's, it's a great addition to what the NFL is already offering.
And it's back tonight. We're looking forward to it. You can see it up here on TSN. Watch it on ESPN down in the States. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll do it again down the road. Thank you, Jeff.
Appreciate it, fellas. Have a great one.
There's Jeff Saturday of ESPN, NFL analyst. Again, the Manning cast is back, and Tom Brady will be on with them tonight. And I hope they ask him about what he's going to do for that fan that gave that ball back for free.
Dude. Like, if that fan, like, I don't know what kind of lifestyle that guy has, but I would have just said, and Brady's my guy. Like, my guy.
You wouldn't have given it back or what?
I would have. But if that guy is dealing with plumbing, like, all day long, he should have just said, no, I'm keeping it, man. That's a $600,000 football.
For those of you not familiar, yesterday Brady threw his 600th career TD, and the receiver who caught it went to the end zone and just gave the ball away, not knowing the significance of it, not knowing that it's an artifact now and it's something that Brady would want, the Hall of Fame would want. And the fan took it. Again, I'm sure the fan didn't even know better. He's like,
by the way, did he even have the right haze to say, actually, I'm keeping it?
Absolutely. Absolutely, he could have. The thing is, and a lot of people have brought this up, in the moment, think about what's running through your mind if you're the fan. The security comes over and asks for it. Are you going to get Bartmaned if you don't give it? You know, are people going to snap and say, you're a loser, that's Tom's? You know, do you understand the significance of it? Did they detail what it was worth? I wonder if he's got regrets now.
He had a straw hat on. He could have put the straw hat down and ran into a cab and gone home, and nobody would have ever heard from him.
I'm not giving that ball back for anything short of 50 grand cash. Well, 100 grand cash, whatever it is. Minimum. Tom Brady.
700 at Christie Pitts, and you can have the ball.
Exactly.
But why doesn't he just go, I want to like give his number, name a number, and be like, tell Tom I gave this back. You don't think that Brady's
camp
will
call him?
Dude,
Brady talked about it today, Noodles. He's like, I'm going to give him a helmet and a couple sweatshirts.
Yeah, thanks, dude.
And
who wants that?
This is the way he said it. He goes, some cool stuff. That's not cool.
You think Brady's going to go, you know what, I'm going to take him down to Christie Pitts and give him a bag of cash.
He's like, not now because he's got the ball. He doesn't have to.
And by the way, Brady wouldn't be the guy that's giving him the 700 grand for the football. It's some other goon that wants to have it in his living room, and Brady never gets it.
But you're right. But I'm saying, like, even if Brady is going to take care of him, he might want to keep it under wraps a little bit. Like, you're not.
I blame the guy for not knowing the situation. He should have known that what touchdown that was out the building into a cab.
Half in the bag. Who knows? You're not paying it. Oh, that's a 600th. Like, you probably.
You know who would have known, Jamie? The guy to your right. He would have known that was 600.
Oh, I would have been on the ball, man. I wonder if he got duped. I mean, that's where I wonder if it's going to get sticky. If the security guard was giving it the old, hey, can I see that for a second? I'll get you another one with a helmet. And he didn't even explain exactly what it was.
I just want to make sure that's an official football.
Right. Because you know where this happened? I'm pretty sure it happened with Jeter's 3,000th hit, which was a home run at Yankee Stadium. I'm pretty sure the guy gave the ball back, and it was the same discussion. It was like, what are you thinking? Like, how do you not tell Jeter? That's the 3,000th hit. It's a home run for him. You got to make sure you get something out of it. And Grappler, look that up, because I feel like it was the same kind of thing. We'll send you a bat and a helmet, and the guy's like, thanks, dude. Like, this thing is worth a fortune, and you should be getting some change out of it. Like, you're a fan. You paid the ticket. You got the ball. That's the way it works, man. Like,
at
that's least, yours. Right. That's
the
your property.
The play
at that point.
Your play is get your ass home and then wait for the phone to ring. That's the
absolutely.
Move.
But
yes.
Then you're like,
there's no other play.
You get home, you sit in your office, and you're like, okay, I'm waiting for a collector to call and go, here's $500,000 for that. But I mean, Brady might go give the guy what he wants. Maybe Brady drives over to his house and goes, here, I'll give you some cash for this. But also,
that'd be a smart play, I think.
I don't
for
think
Brady.
He would. He even said, he goes, I don't collect that much stuff. It's nice to have this, but I don't collect. I don't even think he would have cared.
He may not have cared. Maybe it was Tampa that cares. Maybe the Hall of Fame. Yeah, maybe the NFL. But they all can afford it. You know, Tom Brady, he could give this guy $100,000 and not even flinch.
That's the question I have. Is this trainer going to give the ball to Tom and say, okay, take it home? Or is it going to – if I'd say it's not going to the Hall of Fame, it's going to my house.
Right.
My house.
I'd be snapping. If I got duped, I'd be snapping afterwards. Think about that. That's like handing away a lottery ticket.
Okay, so if Aaron Rodgers had something, say you're in Wisconsin and Rodgers has a historic touchdown in that and it happens to be in your hands.
He leaves the building.
Noodles, you're gone.
I'm doing the snake up the stairs holding
really?
On to the ball. Oh, absolutely, dude. As much as I love Rodgers, that's the ball's in my possession at that point. Like, he's had a great life. You know, he's got Super Bowl rings.
Hayes is doing Barry Sanders by security out of the
arm. Here's another one. So what if Aaron Rodgers is like, I'll be your friend. I'll golf with you. Like,
I'll be your friend. You know how disingenuous that would be? Can you imagine I gave him the ball and then I'm just like, all right, man, let's get together.
He already has that. Tux did that to him.
I was going
to
say, Darcy Tucker gave me a signed stick and when he was
he
playing
said
here.
To him on the first tee, here's a stick and I'll be your friend.
Could you imagine if that was the truth? Like, in the end, I had something that he's wanted for a long time.
Yeah. Yes. Like, it shows up in your garage and Tux is like, 100th goal puck is sitting there and he's wanted it all along and it's been in your garage.
That would be actually
and he's
hysterical.
Been like chipping balls with you in his garage.
Now we're getting to the truth. You
now
had one of
it
something. You had
sense.
One of his
Tux wants something from you. I think
there
that's what
coercion
it is.
There was coercion this whole time. I've had something really significant.
Hayes bought a Memorial Cup ring at a garage sale and it was Tux and he said, if you give it back, I'll be your friend.
That's right. Kamloops 16 and diamonds.
Yeah,
exactly. And I said, listen, you got it. We got to tee it. We got to tee it a couple times. And maybe at the end of the summer. At the end of the summer, I'll pass it over. I'm like Gollum from The Lord of the Rings. My precious. Just looking for tee times. All right, James Duffy coming up. Chris Johnston coming up. The Leafs and Raptors both in action tonight. The World Series starting tomorrow. Overdrive continues. And we got our pick. I think we're making one more pick, right? You and Al's brother are on the clock tonight. One more pick.
Yeah,
Overdrive
come on, one
continues.
More pick.
TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
You guys see what the latest hurricane name is?
No.
Go ahead and just search that up on your phone for 12 seconds. The latest hurricane in the Atlantic Ocean.
Oh, is it the Jerry hurricane?
The Rick. Hurricane is
Hurricane Rick. Please.
Hurricane Rick is boiling up.
Why are we laughing? Because it's
I don't,
hurting
it's not
people.
Funny.
And it,
I know.
It's not like, funny, but Tropical Storm Rick is now Hurricane Rick.
Tropical Storm Rick.
One hurricane that would make me board up my place is Hurricane Rick.
Yes.
This thing spits out cigarette butts, bullets.
Yeah.
Broken beer bottles. No regard for any human life whatsoever.
Yeah. Has a mustache for 35 years. I love it.
Dude, it's just a giant yellow mustache spinning out of control out in the middle of the ocean.
Be safe out there.
I saw a guy over the weekend. I did need to ask his name. It was Rick. It was Rick, and he was blowing darts, driving around this, like, 1985 Oldsmobile truck, and he was just cruising around with a dart in his mouth. And
dude, you could screw with people. Rick. You just wheel up beside him, and you say, hey, Rick, what's going on? They're like, hey, how's it going? How'd you know my name? It's like, you don't have to say a word.
Yeah, we just figured that out, man. Typecasting. That's basically what it is. Rick is being typecast.
Hurricane Rick, be Hurricane careful Rick. Out there, because that's one nasty one, I'll tell you.
Hour two coming up. James Duthie will join us. Al's brother will be in studio. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
This hour of the Overdrive podcast was brought to you by Felix. Erectile dysfunction treatment online. Felix can connect you to a doctor to assess ED and, if applicable, deliver treatment to your door. Visit felix.ca.